Communique to Mrs. Butterworth, MI5, Division Director retired, from Excavations Officer Drake, for your eyes only. Attached to this email is a copy of my final report on The Village Idiot manuscript revisions. I know I shouldn't be writing this, but I feel that you should be alerted to what I fear may be an imminent crisis. During this assignment, I have made some discoveries which might have dangerous implications. As my mentor, I owe you a great deal, and I feel I would be doing you a disservice if I did not bring the matter to your attention. As we feared, the book has become a runaway bestseller. Our beloved author will emerge from his 30-year internment to a circus of interviews and publicity. The media is going to want to know all about the village and who ran it. I managed to obfuscate the most sensitive material in the book. He will, of course, scream cover-up, but that's another department's problem. It is the subject of Directive 17 that worries me, the status of prisoner number 6. A lot of the files have been destroyed, but it seems he was privy to a great deal of very sensitive material. You would know better than I. From what I gather, he was installed in the village immediately upon his resignation. Number 6 proved to be very uncooperative. It seems a massive battle of wills occurred. They became obsessed with breaking him. Eventually, our dear author, the last of the village chairmen, our number 2 as I believe they were called, staged a theatrical tour de force involving actors, hallucinogenic drugs, and his own stage death. See section 20.g, Fallout. Of course, all of this was removed from the book. Did you know that when the village was liberated by UN forces in 1968, the colonel specified that power to the village would not be terminated, that food and medical supplies would not be removed, yet the village was evacuated? Did you know that number 6 was not accounted for? Do you see what I'm leading up to? You signed those manifests. I believe number 6 is still on the island. Rather a good way to protect him and his information, I suppose. No one's been near the place for over 3 decades. But number 2 will. I can read it between every line. And if he can't go personally, he'll go to the press. Either way, it means that number 6 and his secrets will be compromised. Heads are going to roll, and I fear yours may well be among them. I'm doing what I can, but I need your influence, your endorsement. Someone is running interference against my department. But it's your personal welfare that concerns me. Please consider this carefully. Hope you're on your feet soon. Thomas.
The Prisoner, Shattered Visage. Part 1. Arrival.
Just here. Thank you. A tin, okay. Thanks.
Sometime this week. There's no reason why we can't at least see one another. Please ring.
Hello, Alice, love. The biker from Piccadilly was Martin Lake. Long leash. One of ours, believe it or not. You take care.
This is Vincent's mom. We're confirming your hair appointment for tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Good day.
Hello?
I'd prefer it if you started using the doorbell, Thomas.
Sorry, old habits and all that. Wanted to see how you were doing, and pick my mail.
Your mail is being forwarded, and you saw how I was doing, all afternoon. You think I don't know when I'm being followed?
You're still going through with this voyage?
Yes.
Ross wants you back.
Tell him he can stuff it.
Can't we have a civilized discussion?
Can't I go shopping without you invading my privacy?
I'll be honest with you. You've confused my employers. They're afraid you might have been turned. I'm in a very vulnerable position.
Not as vulnerable as Joanne or Max. How could I stay after that? How can you?
They knew the risks, same as you or I. Your resignation has put operational security into jeopardy. Surely you must be aware...
But I've left you too, dear Thomas. That should put you in the clear.
Not really. Our separation has cast doubts on my stability, my dedication.
It always comes down to you, doesn't it? What's good for you? What promotes you? What makes you happy?
That's unfair. You can't pretend we weren't happy. You, me, Megan. Don't you see it would be best for everyone?
You were watched this afternoon.
What?
Take a look. That biker on the other side of the road. I checked him out. He's a pro. One of ours, actually. He followed you all afternoon.
I never saw him.
Let's keep him busy, shall we? You can leave.
You won't reconsider? For Megan's sake.
Get out!
The door is always open.
Please shut it behind you.
Hello, sir. You've got a stack of messages and a meeting with Colonel J at 4.
Get D-Ops down here right now.
Yes, sir.
Director of Operations to see you, sir.
Send him in.
Ma'am, where's the fire, Thomas?
In my eyes, Ross. You've got me tailed, and I want to know why.
Tailed? Why would I waste one of my boys on you?
My point exactly. Is this something to do with my marital difficulties?
I wouldn't know. I haven't signed anyone to watch you.
Who's that then? Mary Poppins?
I must reprimand him for being spotted. Yes, that's Lake. Loaned him to the gods last week.
The gods? What do those old fossils want with me?
Between friends? I see you're messing with something they don't want disturbed. You're close to unearthing a secret. Big secret.
That's absurd. Why don't they just sack me?
I'll ask around.
Be careful. Sorry I'm late, sir.
Tea? It's a bit cold.
Thank you, sir.
Your lovely wife was in the mail today. 2 pages. This is quite a challenge she's undertaking.
Yes, sir. But then, sailing around the world single-handed is, well, not totally out of character.
Quite. Still, you haven't been littering my inbox with memos to discuss spousal prowess.
No, sir. I am worried by what seems to be a narrowing in the scope of my department. Excavations has always been a Cinderella, but now it's risking extinction.
Really?
Request for extra staff, denied. Request for extra funding, denied. Petition for special agent, denied. Petition for interdepartmental assistance, denied.
Your department has operated perfectly well on a certain budget for decades. Some might see this sudden enthusiasm as empire building.
My requests are perfectly legitimate. On Monday, the man you call number 2 will be released from prison. In his manuscript, he made certain allegations. I've told you that he intends to avenge himself on those responsible for his incarceration. All I want to do is run interference.
Do you really think he's a threat? He was, after all, handsomely compensated.
Yes, sir. To the point where I'm prepared to back my concern with my resignation.
Don't be a fool, Thomas. You're not the quitting type. No. You are a clever man, and you're going to find an elegant solution to this dilemma.
Where?
I cannot officially condone any departmental action to aid you. Good day, Thomas.
Thanks for the books, Mum.
You're welcome, sweetheart. Those were my favorite books when I was a girl, you know. You're growing up so fast.
Mum, why couldn't you come home for my birthday? Or Christmas? Why would you be gone for so long?
Oh, Megan, I'll be back before you know it.
Don't want you to go again. Why can't I come too?
It's too Look, who would look after Daddy if we both went?
I don't want to look after Daddy. He always takes me to awful places. I want to be with you.
Now listen, look at me. Your daddy loves you, but he doesn't always know how to treat people. You've got to teach him.
Why can't you teach him?
Someday you'll understand. Look, I have to go. I love you. Be a good girl for the sisters. Make me proud.
Bye, Mum.
How do you Americans stand to eat here regularly?
Hey, beat your pub grub all to hell. Your food is like a TV. Bland. Good Indian food, I'll give you that. Even better than Delhi.
I didn't know you'd been to India, Lee.
Hell yes. I've passed out in every major city in the free world. My expertise is needed everywhere.
Really?
So your meeting with Colonel was a bust?
Didn't get my funding or my agent. His exacts were, I cannot officially condone any departmental action to aid you. In other words, I'm on my own, with tacit approval.
Back home, we call that plausible deniability. So, what do you want me to do?
My wife's facing the media tomorrow next to her boat, the Vorpal Blade. I need you to be there.
Graciously consented to this exclusive interview just hours before she embarks on her historic voyage. A world record for fastest solo circumnavigation of the globe is just one of her goals. Your ship is unique too, I believe.
Yes. My catamaran has no compass or sextant, and I'm not taking any mops. This is to be a wholly GPS-reliant, computer-guided voyage with some revolutionary solar-powered technology.
A lot of your peers have heavily criticised you for being so reliant on one untried system. Aren't you nervous?
Only enough to keep me sharp. I've been sailing since I was a convent schoolgirl.
If the computer's doing all the work, what would you be up to?
Oh, I'll have plenty to do. Staying alive is the first challenge.
And cut. Okay, love, that was great. Is it all right if I do my summing up here on your boat? Me and Will, my cameraman?
Of course. Trish, can you show these folks around?
It's insane, and you said it yourself, it's risky.
What are you doing here?
So, it couldn't have been the danger in our business. You must have had another reason.
I specifically asked.
Okay, Harriet, I'll get one from the truck. Excuse me, lady. Hey, Tom. I thought I might find you here with your messes and all.
William. Is that right?
We're not together any longer.
Oh, yeah, right, miss. See you around, Tom.
What about Megan?
What about her?
You're just going to leave her, a prisoner in that boarding school, while you go off? Sure. Good luck.
You gonna let her walk away, Tom?
Shut it. Did you do your job?
Slam dunked it. You're a cold-hearted SOB. Guess that's why I like you.
better weather. Enjoying it whilst it lasts. The Rubble Blade is performing beautifully. Trish has warned me that the tropical storm system to the south is unpredictable. So I've been reprogramming the navigation computer to avoid it. I hate to admit it, but sometimes I think Thomas could be right. The skydiving, the mountain climbing. Am I trying to prove something? Better sign off now before I get maudlin. As you can see, my boat is wrecked. A large hole in the right-hand float. Suddenly, my sea-firing adventure has turned into Survivor. No idea where I am. Just a long beach, cliffs, and trees. Going to pack a bag and go exploring. With luck, there's a millionaire's resort in the next bay. Can you see that, viewers? Some kind of bell tower. At least I'm not alone. Going to try and reach it before nightfall. Battery's on its last legs, so I'll keep this brief. The bell tower is part of some kind of resort village. Completely deserted. No one seems to have lived here for years. But, at the same time, it's not completely overgrown. Weird mishmash of buildings. Hard to place where I am. No road signs. Hardly any names at all. Just things like corner shop, town hall. Found a map, but it's just of the village. Funny thing is, someone has painted my village on it. I've got a feeling I'm being watched. And maybe not for that reason. I keep finding closed-circuit cameras hidden all over the place. Some even hidden inside marble busts. What was that? There's a light! In the window! Of that place with the green dome! Hello? Who's there?
Quien está aquí? Здравствуйте!
Who's there, dammit?
Don't be afraid. You're safe now.
Where are you?
Here.
Finally. A friendly voice. There's been a terrible accident. My boat is wrecked. The radio, too. I'm completely cut off. It's a relief to be back in civilization. Where am I anyway?
In the village.
I need more information than that.
Information.
Who are you?
That will be telling. You, however. You are number 6.
That was part one of Shattered Visage, based on the DC comic by Dean Motta and Mark Asquith, featuring Stefania Lintonbon as Alice, Adam Manning as Thomas, Bill Holweg as Lee, Captain John Tedrasek as Ross, Gareth Preston as the Colonel, Alexa Chipman as Thomas's secretary, Isabel Cavan as Megan, Jill Cavan as the TV reporter, Kim Giannopoulos as the hairdresser, and Nigel Peaver as the prisoner. Theme music by Stephen K. Farnaby. Based on an original theme by Ron Grainer. Adapted for audio and produced by Gareth Preston. This has been a Broken Sea production.